So hello and welcome everyone. You are on the Back to School Safety Teleclass. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Heather Arida. I am a co-founder of Mommy Bites with my business partner, Laura. A little bit about how we run our online classes. For those of you that have called in via your phones, you're muted right now, so you don't need to worry about background noise. And to ask a question, you just press *7 on your phone. However, I know a lot of you have started using our platform that enables you to join us via your computers. So for those of you joining us via your computers, you can type in a question. It's completely anonymous. You can type in as many questions as you want at any time throughout this class, and I will try to get to as many as I can. I also want to give a huge shout-out thank you to our sponsor of today's teleclass, Britax. Those of you that know me and know Mommy Bites know that we've had an ongoing relationship with Britax for years. We know a lot of members of their team very well. I know Sarah, our expert, very well. I think this is the third or fourth year Sarah and I have done teleclasses together. Their team is awesome, and they all feel very strongly about safety. So as many of you know, Britax really has been a leader in mobile safety for over 70 years and focuses on enhancing the safety of child car seats and improving their overall ease of use. Their commitment is evident by the fact that they undergo the most rigorous testing in the industry and make it a top priority to educate parents on car seat safety via platforms such as this and also resources on their website, which I will send you. I will also send you a link to this taped teleclass. So I also want to welcome our expert on today's teleclass, Sarah Tilton. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, Heather. How are you today?
I'm great. Poor Sarah was just saying, ironically, as this is a teleclass on travel, Sarah has been on the road kind of nonstop and just got in late last night. So thank you for carving out time to join us today, Sarah.
Thank you very much. You know, I never miss an opportunity to help educate parents and transporting their children safely.
Sarah, actually, along those same lines, maybe this is a good time to talk a little bit about Child Passenger Safety Week, which I believe is this week. As we speak, it started on Monday. Is that correct?
It actually started on Sunday. It's a seven-day long period, if you will. And so all week you may have today is Wednesday. You may have already seen pieces on your local news stations or your newspapers or even PSAs on your local radio stations about National Child Passenger Safety Week. And it's a week that is sponsored by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration as well as Safe Kids Worldwide. And there are all kinds of car seat check events going on, just educational pieces being done. And so that week always concludes on a Saturday. So this Saturday is known as National Seat Check Saturday. And so most of the car seat events for this week-long period will be happening on Saturday across the country.
It's so awesome that in this day and age that there is an emphasis on car seat safety. I mean, I feel like back when I was growing up, which was a long time ago, Sarah, there really wasn't this emphasis. And the wake-up call for me was actually reading some of the statistics on car seat crashes that you guys had sent my way. And I believe that you had mentioned that car seat car accidents and with a lot of times car seats that are installed incorrectly are the number one cause of death in children under 12. Is that still the statistic?
That is. And, you know, when we talk about CPS, National CPS Week, we have about 38,000 national certified technicians across the country to help parents make sure that they're transporting their children safely. And we still have an average statistic about 3 out of every 4 car seats are either installed or used incorrectly. But you know what? We haven't given up, Heather. We keep working. We keep trying because every single one child that we help protect or save is one more child who is someone's daughter, you know, sister, et cetera.
That's right. It's so true, and it's so important. So thank you, Sarah. So the focus of this is really on school-age children. This is a back-to-school teleclass. If any of you have little ones and you want some information on car seat safety with infants and babies, please email me directly. I have information that Britex has sent me over the years on that, and I'm happy to send your way. So keeping that in mind, Sarah, maybe let's start with, we'll go back a little bit, even though this may not all be relevant to school-age children, but, you know, the five steps to child passenger safety, and maybe you can go through those a little bit.
Okay, so, we talk about five steps, and we can, actually, there's a couple of different five steps to within CPS, but we'll talk about always making sure that you're selecting the appropriate car seat. And so when we talk about selecting the appropriate car seat, it's, does it face in the correct direction, rear facing or forward facing, based on the child's age, weight, and height? Does it have a weight capacity that your particular child fits in? So if you have a 30-pound child who is already sitting forward facing, you would want to make sure you buy a seat that is going to have a much higher capacity than 30 pounds and allow them to ride in that harness for a very long time. Selecting the appropriate position in your vehicle, making sure that you're not putting that rear-facing only seat in the right front passenger seat in front of an active airbag. Installation, making sure that we get that car seat or booster seat, which we'll talk a little bit more about today, installed correctly. And usually for a harnessed car seat, what that means is nice and snug, less than 1 inch of movement, left to right and front to back. And then if we're using a car seat with an internal harness, that five-point harness typically, we want to make sure that we are harnessing or securing that child properly in that harness.
And Sarah, along those same lines, I know that there's always a lot of questions about this. How long should the child ride in that five-point harness forward-facing? That's changed over the years, I believe, yes?
I would tell you that the average child should ride in their five-point harness as long as possible. And so what does that mean? If you have a 65-pound harness, use that harness until that child is close to 65 pounds.
And for some kids, Sarah, they can be quite old. And I think we mentioned on the last one, parents used to think there was an age associated, right? You hit this grade, you hit this age, okay, that's it, you're out of a five-point harness. But now it really has to do with weight. I remember you saying, I think on the last one, that parents should not fall into the trap of just thinking that even if they've just hit the weight that they can switch because their bones may not be developed all the way.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Heather, so many states develop their law around an age, a weight, and or a standing height. I have an 8-year-old granddaughter who just this school year started riding in a belt positioning booster. She has been riding in a 5-point harness, and she is just started the third grade. So, when we talk about age and we talk about weight, the maturity, and she's a very mature child. I think I did a little bit too good educating her parents about keeping her in a 5-point harness. Because I had to tell them, it's okay for her to ride around town in a belt positioning booster seat. But one of the things when we move a child from a five-point harness to a booster, even if it's legal within the state laws of our state, the child may not be mature enough to sit still each ride and every ride. What I tell, you know, they could be a wiggle worm. I often tell parents, especially of one, a parent or parents of one child, often don't understand the freedom that a child is going to have in a belt positioning booster. So if you have a, if you're out there, you have a child that you're, you know, thinking about moving to a booster seat, get in your driver's seat, buckle up, and drop your car keys on the floorboard. You will be able to bend over without removing your seatbelt very freely and pick those keys up. When you put your child in the belt positioning booster seat, they will have that very same freedom. So when they drop their little toy, car, their snack, they're going to be able to bend over to pick it up, and they essentially would not be protected if there should be a crash at that point in time.
Hmm. And so now along those same lines, so switching to moving out of the belt position booster seat and into, I guess, then the next would be just seatbelt, or is there something in between? And if so, what age does that normally happen or weight?
Okay, so every stage of car seat safety, I as an advocate would always tell you as long as possible, which means to use that seat in that stage until your child no longer fits the height, weight, or any other fitment guidelines that the specific car seat manufacturer has imposed for that specific product. As I mentioned, many states revolve car seat / booster seat laws around an age, a weight, and or a height. Unfortunately, many states have put the height, standing height of 4'9". I live in South Carolina and right on the border of North Carolina, and the laws are very different for each state, but North Carolina is a little bit clearer. At the age of 8 or 80 pounds, you can go into a vehicle seatbelt alone, no booster seat, legally. There's a very small caveat to that law that many, many, many people pay no attention to, and that is, or until the child fits in a vehicle seatbelt appropriately. So it is true, it's somewhere around 4'9" when a human body will sit in the vehicle seatbelt and vehicle seat, and the vehicle seatbelt will touch the strongest parts of our body. You know, so many times, Heather, we've talked about car seat safety now and how to properly put the harness on a child. Well, when we're, whether we as an adult or a child that we're putting in booster seat or in the seatbelt, that lap belt of our vehicle seatbelt should ride low on their hip bones, not up into their stomach, near their belly button, where their soft tissue is, down on their hip bones. But the shoulder belt should come across the midpoint of their chest and across their collarbone. Again, the bony, strong structure of our body. How do we know as well when we're going to get that fit? Can my child move into that seatbelt? Have them sit in the vehicle seat. Their feet need to touch the floor flat. Their knees need to bend at the edge of the seat. And their lower back or butt area needs to be all the way back against the vehicle seatbelt in conjunction with the proper placement of the seatbelt on their body. That is when they can ride without a booster seat. Now, if you drive a minivan or an SUV, any type of vehicle that has three rows, the front seat, a middle row, and then a third row, and different vehicles, you will want to perform that test on every seating position your child sits in, because every vehicle seat is different. I've seen children sit in a vehicle seatbelt in the third row of a minivan, but they do not sit appropriately in the captain's chair in the center, because the center seating position is larger than the third row.
That's so interesting. I never thought about that, but I sit differently depending on where I am in some of those larger sort of captain's chair type of seats. That's very interesting.
Yes, you know, and I'm a very petite person. I'm only about 5'5", and in all my travels, when I have to rent maybe SUVs or minivans to move equipment around and stuff, I have to be very particular sometimes about the vehicles that I rent. And you know, I'm a grandmother. I have a little age behind me, so. You would think I should fit in a belt just fine, and that's not always the case.
So interesting. Sarah, I have a question that's been typed in. This caller wants to know, can you please ask Sarah about what she recommends for this? I'm sure you get all the time, Sarah, carpooling. Safety with carpooling.
Safety with carpooling. So I recommend that if and I'm not sure if the question is coming as the mom or the caregiver is the driver of a carpool, or their child is going in someone else's car in a carpool. So I'll give a little bit of information from both perspectives. If you drive carpool and you are driving other people's children, you are responsible as the driver of that vehicle, first and foremost, but you would always want to transport every child as equally as safe as you would want your own child transported. So what I would I suggest, and we're kind of already into the school year and carpooling may already be happening, but you know, maybe have a coffee hour on a Saturday morning, have all the parents get together of the kids who are carpooling, and just talk about how each child is being transported by their own personal family. Make sure that everybody's aware at minimum what the legal law is. My little 8-year-old granddaughter has had friends riding in a vehicle seatbelt with no booster since they started kindergarten. So needless to say, peer pressure from my granddaughter was a little significant at times. But get all the parents together and just have this open conversation. You know, there are some the one thing to keep in mind about carpooling is that, you know, these are short trips. They're typically just through the neighborhood to the local school and back home again. They're not long trips, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes. Periods of time that a 6, 7, 8-year-old child can sit still for the entire ride in a belt positioning booster. Now, high back boosters, I'm going to tell you, provide more lateral protection and support for the child in the event of a side impact. I will also tell you that a backless booster will help to position that lap and shoulder belt properly on their bony structure. So if everything was right in the world, each child would be in a high back booster. A backless booster is going to provide adequate positioning of that vehicle seatbelt. And like I said, for short trips, children are certainly going to sit still or should be able to sit still in those short rides. So either, you know, maybe all the carpool moms, they all have backless boosters, or my daughter-in-law has extra booster seats
for my granddaughter's little friends, because I've said to her, would you want your daughter transported in someone else's car inappropriately? Every child has their own seat belt. So if you drive a sedan and you only have 3 seat belts across your back seat, you only transport 3 children under the age of 13.
Got it. Okay. It's just good to know. And the part about peer pressure and, you know, what your friends' friends are doing, friends' parents, it's as you know, Sarah, it's big. I love the stories about your granddaughter. That's so funny. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I wanted to pause for a minute and thank our sponsor again today, BritTax. As you can tell from the quality of Sarah's talk, BritTax really has been a leader in mobile safety for over 70 years, and they make it a top priority to educate parents on car seat safety via platforms like this teleclass. They also are letting parents know about Child Passenger Safety Week, which we will send you. There's a bunch of information that BritTax has put out on that, which I will send you in my follow-up email to all of you. I'm going to send you another question that's just coming in. This question, Sarah, is on – oh, this actually was just in the news too. This question is on, what does Sarah think about safety in school buses and there not being seatbelts in many school buses? Probably not a lot parents could do, but what's your take on that?
Well, you know, again, if the world was right, every vehicle that we ride in would have a seatbelt for every occupant. School buses do provide a level of protection, and it is called compartmentalization. And so in compartmentalization, that means that, you know, I think back to the school buses that I rode on, and the back of the seat that was in front of me was hard metal. Now they are cushioned. They have to be a certain height. They have to be a certain distance from seat back. So around, again, I'm going to refer to that, around the neighborhood to the local school, most of the time those buses do not get on highways and interstates. They're big, they're yellow, they're bright, and they don't typically drive very fast. So with all of that being said, they provide an adequate level of protection. Unfortunately, there was just a horrific bus crash. I believe it was in Texas, a little bit different scenario than being, you know, in that neighborhood. So the unfortunate part about these incidents is that it is a pretty big incident. Unfortunately, there are motor vehicle crashes that are happening every 5 minutes or so, and we don't hear about those because I'm not saying that anyone is not important, but it's kind of a less publicized type of event, but we hear about the school bus. So I don't have large concerns in general, but the good news that I can tell you is that obviously, yes, seatbelts on school buses will help save children's lives. Many states have adopted and are adopting new laws that require newly purchased school buses to have seatbelts on them. I get often asked, well, why don't they have to put seatbelts in all the buses right now? We as taxpayers, and here I'll refer back to my elderly mother who was 88 when she passed away, but you get talking about taxes, and she would be like, well, I don't want to pay more taxes. I don't have kids in school. I don't have it would cost each of our cities and our communities a tremendous amount of money to replace all the buses tomorrow. So take, you know, the good side of it is that there are changes coming. We are going to see at some point in the future seatbelts across all in all school buses.
in general, school buses are a safe mode of transportation.
Good. All right. That's good to know. But, you know, also, Sarah, just I'll put my two cents in. You know, as drivers, I would say, no, everybody's, you know, rushing around, getting to work, coming home from work, but to be very, very aware of if there's a school bus near you on the road, and if they have those blinking lights and that stop sign comes out, to stop. I mean, I see all the time when my kids were getting picked up from camp, cars would kind of go around it, and the bus driver would go crazy, and she should go crazy. This could be very dangerous.
You know, Heather, and that's a really, really good point, because just a few weeks ago when school was getting ready to start for most areas, there was a lot of communication happening in social media and online from different organizations about what the laws were in states about school bus, about cars stopping for school buses. And honestly, if I had to guess, between children being injured on bus crashes versus the situation you just mentioned of drivers not stopping for those red lights of a school bus, I would say more children get injured because of that. You are so, so right. So many people can't be bothered. They're in a hurry to stop for those red lights. And I just encourage each and every one of us to think about that could be your child, your daughter, your sister, your brother, your grandchild, niece, nephew, et cetera. And you know what? It doesn't really have, they don't have to be related to us, because every human life is important and they are someone's child.
That's right. It's so true. Just keep it in mind. I know it's a busy world we live in, but just be aware. I want to remind people you can type in a question by filling in the little box. It's right next to the BritTax logo on your landing page on your computer. So any remaining questions, please type those in now. Sarah, I want to ask you about rental cars. I know that's come up a lot. What's your take on how the best way to be safe in a rental car when you maybe don't have your own car seat with you?
So I'm gonna back up before we even get to that rental car agency, Heather. I understand that every child under the age of 2 is legally permitted by the Federal Aviation FAA to be held on a parent's lap. But every child, every human body is safest in the airplane in their own car seat. And you will then have that car seat at your destination, a car seat that you know has not been involved in a crash, that all the pieces are attached to, and you know how to use it correctly each and every time. When you rent a car seat from a car rental agency, you run the risk of not knowing if you have all the parts, not knowing if it's been involved in a motor vehicle crash previously, will all the labels be attached to the car seat for you to use it properly? Will there be an owner's manual provided with it for you to use it correctly? So my best recommendation is that you travel with your own car seat. Now, if your child's in a booster seat, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, bring that booster seat, carry it on board of the airplane, and put it overhead just like a carry-on suitcase, and then your child's going to have that with them.
And in rental car situations, so what I hear you saying is best case scenario, bring your own. And I will just let people know that BritTax actually makes a product that is great for traveling, and you could basically hook your car seat on to it, and it has like little wheels in it, and it's a little cart, and it makes it super easy to get through the airport. So best case scenario, bring your own. If you, for whatever reason, can't bring your own to make sure you investigate with the rental car company to see if they provide car seats. But keeping in mind that, you know, that's not the best case scenario because you're not quite sure the history of that car seat.
Yes, and, you know, the other thing is it's much like if you've rented cars frequently enough, you can make a reservation. And so when you rent your car, you can make a reservation for a car seat, but you potentially could show up and they not have any car seats available. So then what do you do?
Right, right. I didn't even think of that. That's right, yeah.
You know, in my travels, I have had challenges. I've reserved a hotel room and I've reserved a rental car. But I get to the rental car agency and people didn't return their rentals on time, so there's no car for me. I get to the hotel and the hotel has overbooked, and so it's first come, first serve, and I'm a late check-in. I don't get a hotel room. I have to go somewhere else.
Right.
So just keep those thoughts in mind, because unfortunately that type of scenario with a car seat, I would hate to think, but I would guess that there are many parents who are going to make the decision, well, we've got to go, we've got to get out of here, and they transport their child without a car seat.
I didn't even think of that. It's a great, great point. So, guys, we have time for probably one more question that has been submitted on our form. And the question, again, is for Sarah, and this has to do with this caller wants us to just go back to the carpooling again. And she's asking, do you recommend, even if you don't know the weight and height of all the children you will be transporting, keeping extra booster seats or car seats in the back of your car, even though you don't know the weight of the people traveling? That's interesting. So do you put them in a booster, or do you put them in a car seat?
Well, and again, this is why I'm suggesting that you have this pre-gathering of the caregivers, of the parents, prior to your carpool starting, because you don't ever want to transport a child improperly. I wouldn't want my child transported not appropriately. So it kind of sounds like the question might be, hey, I'm pulling up in front of school today, and there's a child that I don't normally pick up. I don't normally transport. I know nothing about this child. Hopefully that doesn't happen very often. I would suggest, you know, at least having a booster seat. You're going to have to ask this child, how much do they weigh? Or you're going to make a decision to transport that child potentially unsafe. So I cannot encourage enough that pre-meeting, I'm going to call it a social hour, whether it's coffee, lemonade, you know, lemonade and cookies, coffee and donuts on Saturday morning, whatever it might be, but get to know the needs of every child in this carpool. And, you know, quite honestly, those of you who are listening today could be the educators of these other parents who haven't thought about these things.
It's such a good point, Sarah, and all it takes is for one or two moms to start the conversation, and everybody will join in. And you know, I know for those of you maybe new, your child's new to school, but what you'll find is you tend to have play dates with similar people, and, you know, you have similar carpools depending on where you live. So it's often the same children in your car, and your child is often going with the same parents over and over. So it's just a great idea, Sarah. It makes a lot of sense.
You know, and it may not, and I understand this is probably not a clear, concise answer, but you really have to, as a responsible adult driving that vehicle for us as caregivers, you know, asking the right questions and making the right decisions, because, again, I would not want, you know, my child just put in a back seat with a seatbelt, very unsafe.
Agree. It's a great point and great suggestion. So, guys, thank you so much all for your questions and for joining us. In my follow-up email to all of you, I will send a link along to this Take to Tell class, as well as information on Child Passenger Safety Week, as well as links to some of the great resources that BRFAC has on their site. Sarah, thank you so much. This has been great.
You're very welcome, Heather. I've enjoyed it.
And Sarah, really good luck with all your traveling. I know that this is a busy, I don't want to say busy time of year, because as I mentioned when we were offline, you're always busy, but just best of luck with all your travels, and I look forward to doing this again in a few months.
All right, Heather, thank you so much. Everybody have a great day, and happy carpooling. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. Bye-bye.